As we turn to the book of Psalms, we are turning to Israel's ancient hymn book. You have a hymn book in front of you there in the pew. But if we were to turn to Israel's hymn book, we would turn to the book of Psalms. And this hymn book, the book of Psalms, is also called the book of praises because that's exactly what it is. It is a book filled with praise to God. And this book, the book of Psalms, is the longest book in the Bible, containing 150 individual songs. And not only is this book the longest book in the canon of Scripture, it is one of the richest doctrinal books in the entire Bible. The Psalms teach us so many attributes of God. That is, this book teaches us who God is. We learn in this book about God's great power. As I have already declared this morning, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. The book declares unto us the mercy of God, that the mercy of God extends even unto the clouds, that men ought to praise God for his mercy toward them. The Bible here, this book, Psalms teach us of God's omniscience. And we turn to Psalm 139 and we remember God's words to David's and David's recollection of God and that God is everywhere. Man cannot escape God. God is everywhere, present and all-knowing. And then we learn in this book that God is our protector. God is our provider. He is our strength and our salvation. And so as we turn to the book of Psalms, we are really turning to a doctrinal book. We turn to a theology 101 book. How can we acquaint ourselves with God? If we started at the Psalms, we would find great truths that would benefit our souls. The Psalms not only give us a theology of God, they give us a theology of man. And Jonathan Edwards said, of the two things that man can strive to understand, it would do him well to understand the nature of God and the nature of man. And as we turn to the book of Psalms, we learn much about who man is. We read that man naturally is unholy. He is unrighteous. We read that man is created by God, and man is then accountable to God. We read that man is fearfully and wonderfully made. We learn of man's sinful condition, how he can be redeemed and reconciled, restored unto God through the sacrifice which is made through Jesus Christ. The Psalms give us also a theology of God's Word. The Psalms teach us the character of the Scriptures. And we have the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, declaring one theme, and that theme being the truth of God, the revelation of God, Scripture, God's Word. We learn in the Psalms that God's Word is pure and perfect. It is powerful and preserved. It is authoritative and sufficient. It is a priority for our lives, a comfort for our souls, and the chief way of understanding and communing with Almighty God. The Psalms give us also a theology of prayer. If somebody were to ask, how can I know how to pray? What is prayer? We could easily point them to the Psalms, and that would be sufficient. For in the Psalms, we read of what prayer is, the pouring out of the soul to God. Prayer is not merely the repetition of words. It is the pouring out of the heart, the crying of the heart. It is honest and transparent communion with Almighty God, the telling of Him of our worries, the pleading for His help. And in the Psalms, we have a theology of prayer. But in the Psalms, we also have a theology of praise. As I mentioned, this book is Israel's ancient hymn book. This was their music book. These were praises that were made unto God by those ancient Israelites. And in the Psalms, we have the instructions of how God expects His children to worship Him. And in the Psalms, we read that God would have us to worship Him in an orderly fashion. God would have us to worship Him skillfully, reverently, heartily, and magnifying Him above all. In Psalm 100, God gives us four main principles of praise, four principles of worship. How God desires us to worship Him. Now, Psalm 148 through Psalm 150 teaches us of God's expectations of His children to praise. God expects His children to praise Him. And we see that in Psalm 148, Psalm 149, Psalm 150. The command, the exhortation given by God through man to praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise Him for His goodness. Praise Him. If we were to turn to the New Testament, we would see the same exhortations. That we ought to be filled with the truth of God. And being filled with the truth of God, then we ought to praise Him for who He is. So let's read Psalm 100 as we look at these four main principles of praise, considering first the object of our praise, second, the cause of our praise, third, the spirit of our praise, last, the outflow of our praise, and then a couple applications that follow. Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. As we prepare for the Thanksgiving holiday, could not help but pass over this psalm, Psalm 100, and to prepare our hearts for what true Thanksgiving is all about. I'm afraid in our American culture, we have commercialized Thanksgiving far too much. Thanksgiving is a biblical doctrine, but Thanksgiving according to God is not about filling our bellies and then going into a state of a coma as we watch the afternoon football game while the ladies prepare to go shopping on Friday morning. True thanksgiving to God is praising God, ascribing worth and adoration to Him because He is God. That is what true thanksgiving is all about. It is not focused upon us. True thanksgiving, true praise to God is focused upon God. And God would have us understand these four principles regarding praise so that our praise might be accepted before Him. Notice first in this psalm the object of our praise. Very elementary, very simple, but we must start here because that's where the text starts. What is the object of praise here in Psalm 100? The object of our praise is God, the infinite, eternal, triune Creator, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise, everywhere present Spirit, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, the one and only true and living God. He is the object of our praise. And the Lord is referenced 15 times in these five verses, teaching us that the object of our praise ought to be Him. I hope you have gleaned from our singing this morning that we desire to make our worship about Him. Well, there are many songs in our day, newer songs, that are good and reverent and helpful. There is also the truth. There are many songs brought into the worship of God that are songs that could be sung to your boyfriend, girlfriend, your husband, or wife. No mention of God and fluffy and more emotional than depth and truth. But our praise is toward God. The psalmist emphasizing who men ought to praise indirectly emphasizes who men ought not to praise. Man is not to praise other gods. And there was a time in Israel when Israel got their heart off of the one and true God, and they started worshiping other gods, the god of Baal, the gods of Ashtoreth, these foreign gods who were no gods at all. And this was not the divine will of God. This was because of man's rebellious heart. But man is not to praise other gods. Man is to praise the God of gods, the one and only true and living God. And man is not to praise other men. The psalmist in Psalm 115 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us give glory, but unto thy name, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake give glory." When the apostle Paul made his trip overseas in his crash landing, there was a venomous snake that bit his hands. The people of that island were not understanding of all that was going on, and they saw that when he was bitten of the snake, he quickly cast it aside, and they began to worship him as a god. And immediately, Paul says, "I am not the one to be worshipped. God is the one to be worshipped." But this teaches us that sometimes man has an inclination to worship other men. But the Psalms here teach us that our worship ought to be a focused view on God. Man is not to praise other men, other prophets, other apostles, other saints, or Mary. We ought to praise God and God alone. The object of our praise is God. And then look, second, the cause of our praise. So we worship God, but why ought we to worship God? Well, the answers are unfolded right here in the psalm. It's almost as if God knew the questions that we would ask, and he answers them within the text. The object of our praise, it is God. But why should it be God? God answers it for us. He says, "Know," verse 3, "know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." The cause of our praise to God is the knowledge that we have that he is God, and as God, he has created us. And if we are believers, not only has he created us, he has recreated us. He has saved us from the eternal depths of hell. Is that not a cause to praise the Lord? If we merely just stopped at creation, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we have this life that we live with family and friends and opportunities before us, and we have the opportunity to see the glories of a sunset and the glories of the sunrise. We can marvel at nature, and we there could say, "Lord, you ought to be praised." But how much the more when we have been brought into Christ, when we have been saved by the blood of the crucified one, when we have been made joint heirs with Christ, the children of God. And the apostle John would marvel at this instance, and he would say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." What is John doing in that instance? He's praising the Lord. Praising the Lord for what he has done and who he is. The object of our praise ought to be God. And the cause of our praise is because the cause of our praise is who he is and what he has done. I always marvel at the providence of God and the special music. And we don't communicate. Perhaps we should. What is played and what is preached, but the special this morning during the offertory, "His eye is on the sparrow. I sing because I'm happy." And we sing because we're happy. And where does this happiness come from? It comes from finding our sufficiency in God, understanding that God is enough. So the psalmist invites us to praise the Lord. He is the object of our praise. And we ought to praise the Lord because God is God. He is the creator God. He has made us and not we ourselves. He is the saving God. We are His people and we are His sheep brought through the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. And He is the ruling God. Notice the details of God being a king. He says, enter into His gates. The king is sitting on His throne. Come and enter before Him through His gates and into His courts with praise. The psalmist here is magnifying God to the state of being king eternal. And we ought to worship God because we are among His kingdom. Not only because of who He is a ruling God, He is a saving God, He is a creating God, but because of who He is. Furthermore, He is good, He is merciful, and His truth endures forever. The psalmist is giving us cause after cause after cause after cause, and the psalmist does this because he knows that we are often tempted in our fallen nature to say, well, why should I praise God? I have all these things against me. Why should I praise God? And the psalmist is trying to tear down one argument after the next argument after the next argument after the next argument. And he gives us this bundle of truth to consider. Praise God because He's King. Praise God because He's your Creator. Praise God because He's your Sustainer. Praise God because He's good. Praise God because He's merciful. Praise God because He is true. And then we see the spirit of our praise. And we would say here that God not only desires that we praise Him, but that God is interested that we praise Him with the proper spirit. Did you know that? We can come together on a Sunday morning. We can sing the hymns of faith. We can go about the music service and move our lips and yet our heart be far from the Lord. We can externally praise God while internally be separated from God. We can sing with a bitter heart. We can sing with an angry heart at God or toward others. But God is not only interested that we praise Him, but that we praise Him with the right spirit. Well, what kind of spirit should we have? Well, thanks for asking. The Bible takes care of that for us. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why should we be joyful? Go back to our second point. Because the Lord is the creator God, the saving God, the ruling God. He is good, He is merciful, and His truth endures forever. Make a joyful noise. That's the gasoline to our prayer or in praise. Verse 4, how should we praise? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And those who truly know the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ cannot help but praise Him in such a way. And David would say in the Psalms, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. The new song was in David's mouth because the new song was in David's heart. And David, among all of his circumstances, praised God in a joyful, thankful manner. If you remember the history of David, here David is anointed king of Israel, and King Saul is seeking to hunt him as a deer. throwing javelins at him, hating him. King Saul rousing up his army to defeat David, who has done nothing wrong but been a blessing to Saul. And we read through the Psalms, all the circumstances, how he is set round about. His enemies seek to destroy him. His enemies are angry at him. And then we read, yet will I trust the Lord. Yet will I praise him with all of my heart. Oh yes, I have all these things going on, but because God is good, because I am his child, I will praise him with joy and thanksgiving. We see this also in the New Testament with the lame man, Acts chapter 3. The lame man healed by Peter and John going to the temple to pray. He asked for some alms, and Peter says, as such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, arise up and walk. And what did the lame man do? He went walking and leaping and praising God. Joyfully, thankfully, with gratitude unto God for that which his power has done. The leper the same. Luke chapter 17. The leper was cleansed. That one leper returned to the Lord, thanking him joyfully. That is the spirit of our praise, with joy, with thanksgiving, with praise. But then notice the outflow of our praise. True praise for God in the heart will always flow out of one's lips and one's life. That's exactly what happened with the lame man. He experienced this great grace of God, and it poured out of his lips, it poured out of his life. The leper is cleansed, it poured out of his lips, it poured out through his life. Make a joyful noise. How should we do that? With our lips. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We show thanksgiving with our lips. Come into his courts with praise. Bless his name. And so we praise the Lord with our lips, and we praise the Lord in song. As we have done this morning, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, merciful and mighty, God in three persons. We see this as a biblical practice in Exodus chapter 15, when Israel was delivered from the strength of Pharaoh in Egypt. The Bible says Moses and Israel lifted up their voice in praise to God, singing, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my father's house, and I will exalt him. The Israelites' natural response was to praise God for what he had done. And so it is in Judges chapter 5, when Israel again was under oppression, under the oppression of Jabin, the king of Canaan. And Deborah and Barak are used of God to set the Israelites free. And their response in Judges chapter 5 is praise and song to God. We also praise God in prayer. Can I remind you of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2? A barren woman by the name of Hannah, going to the temple, pouring out her soul before the Lord because she was barren. She desired a son. Eli the priest, calling her drunkard, did not allow that to discourage her. She continued praising the Lord, continued praying and pouring out her soul before God. God brings life, and Hannah responds by giving praise to God. In prayer, that answered prayer that came, Hannah has a whole chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 2, on giving praise to God through prayer. So we praise God with our lips, but we also praise the Lord with our life. And notice verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve. serve the Lord with gladness. So it is not only with the lips, it's with the life. We serve the Lord with our life. And we cannot dissect our praising God with our from our lips and our life. While some would like to separate the two and focus on doing one over the other, we see from Scripture that God has ordained His people to be those who not only praise with their lips on Sunday, but also praise God with their life Monday through Saturday. As the great Matthew Henry always puts it, he says, "Thanksgiving is good, but thanksgiving is better." It's easy to say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, God, you are good. God, you are worthy to be praised. Yes, we can come together, sing songs to God all we want." But Matthew Henry says, "Thanks living is the proof." That is, living in such a way that is thankful to God. And that trickles down to every area of our Christian life. How we treat our spouse, how we treat our enemies, how we give to the Lord, what kind of employee we will be in the workplace. Thanksgiving is good, but thanksgiving is better. We ought to praise God with our life because our life speaks louder than our lips. So we take all these things, we observe them. We zoom out of the passage and then ask, what are the benefits of praising God in such a way? Well, first, praising God in such a way glorifies Him. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. When we praise God as ascribed by Him, it brings Him honor and glory and praise. It is a sweet-smelling savor in His nostrils when we praise Him as He has dictated. But it also, on the horizontal level, strengthens our faith. When we praise God for who He is and what He has done, when we praise Him with the right spirit, it strengthens our faith. And we find this to be true within the context of the Psalms. Again, if I can note David, throughout the Psalms, is fighting with great anxiety and depression. He's dealing with sin and guilt. But as he praises the Lord, you can sense, you can feel in the text that his soul is being drawn to God. We see this in the case of Asaph also. Asaph in Psalm 73 is discouraged. His eyes was taken off of God and placed on man. You remember? Asaph was discouraged because he saw the wicked prospering in the land. And then he started to question God and His goodness, His justice. Asaph went into the house of God, and there he understood. There he applied verse 3, "Know that the Lord, He is God." He came to know once again that God is God and that Asaph is not God. God is holy and just and does according to His good purposes. And then we see the spirit of worship after Asaph comes into the house of God, after his soul is adjusted. Notice Psalm 73, verse 24. Asaph praises the Lord by saying, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God." And how is he drawing near to God? Through praise. "I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." We find this to be true. This benefit to our soul, not only in the context of the Psalms, but in the context of the New Testament. Do you remember the great missionary, the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 16, faithfully preaching the gospel of Christ as he has been commanded? He comes with Silas to a town called Philippi, and the Philippians hate his message. Because they hate his message, they hate him. And they throw the Apostle Paul into a prison. They shackle him and his gospel partner up. And what does the apostle do at midnight? He prays, and he praises God. It's a benefit to the soul. He could have sat there soaking in discouragement, soaking in anger toward his enemies, being frustrated at God. God, I've given my life to you, and now I sit in a cold prison? Is this what Christianity is all about? Is this what ministry is all about? But rather than giving leeway to that sort of spirit, the apostle says, let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord because he is the Lord. He is sovereignly working, though we don't understand. Let's praise the Lord because he is good and merciful. The apostle praises God. The jailers hear him. And then what happens? An earthquake comes. And the apostle Paul is a soul winner to the Philippian jailer. Suppose Paul would have sulked in his disappointments. Would he have been the witness that the Philippian jailer needed? No. But it was a strength to his soul, and a strength to his soul, it was the strength of others. If we could look through the channels of church history, we would read of martyrs who were tortured for their faith in Christ, some being burned at the stake. And as they were burned at the stake, they would joyfully sing praises to God as they were being tortured. You see, praising God deflates anxiety. Praising God deflates fear, discontentment, unbelief, and bitterness. Can I be a spiritual doctor and help some of you? Some of you who are like David at times, cast down in your spirit, saying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Some of you who deal with true and deep depression, this is a medicine for the soul. Grab a hymn book and praise the Lord. Let your voice shout of the greatness to God. Tell others about how good God is and see if that's not an encouragement to your soul. Come out on outreach and tell others that Jesus saves and see if that doesn't bless you. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. In the darkest moment of David's life, he says, I shall yet praise him. Teaching us this, our praise ought not to be dependent upon how we feel or what we are going through. Our praise is dependent upon God's worthiness, and God's worthiness does not change. Our circumstances change, but God doesn't change. And if God doesn't change, we ought to praise him all the time. Now let's consider the absence of such praise as an application. The heart that has no desire to praise God for who he is and what he has done in a joyful spirit is a heart that is alienated from God. It is the heart of true Christians to worship God as has been prescribed in this psalm. And the refusal to praise God declares that he is not good. The refusal to praise God declares that he is not merciful and that he is not worthy. And I fear that there are many lost religious people who verbally claim to be Christians. They go through the religious motions of reading the Bible, praying, striving to be moral, attending a church, but do not have a sincere love and a devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Their heart does not beat in praise for God. I fear that there are many who come, move their lips to the music, warm a pew, flash fake smiles to others, appearing that they fit in among the family of God, but inwardly they are alienated from the life of God. Don't let that be you. The invitation is given in the psalm. This is a gospel invitation. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. You're outside of Christ, outside of the family of God. The psalm is given. And perhaps you're here thinking, this is only for Christians. No, this is an invitation to all. Come, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made you. He is the good shepherd. As the good shepherd, He laid down His life for His sheep. And through the atonement of His blood, we can have everlasting life. So come, enter into His gates. Come to Christ, the source of all blessings. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Join in the praise to God for who He is and what He has done. Seeing the principles of praise laid out for us clearly in this psalm, I'm compelled to ask you some heart-searching questions. Does your heart beat with constant praise to God? Not perfect praise, but constant praise. Can you truly say that praising God is your desirable delight? Do you anticipate Sunday mornings because you know you get to be among brothers and sisters in Christ who get to praise the name of your God together? Is that your delight or is it your dread? Again, I know there are those who are drugged to church, pushed to church, encouraged to come to church, and they're here for somebody else, but they're not here for God. I'm pressing these things to your heart so that you might find Him. Find Him to be faithful and good and true and holy and worthy of your praise and adoration. Now let me ask you to consider this one question as we conclude this morning. Why does God want us to be instructed regarding the principles of praise? Why did God give us Psalm 100? Why is the preacher wasting his breath teaching you these principles? There are so many things that we could come across in the scriptures this morning. Why these principles of praise? Here's the answer. Because praise is what believers will do for all of eternity. That's why these things matter. You think we will play baseball in the clouds for all of eternity? You think we're just going to lounge in a visible mansion, drinking sweet tea, and doing as we please? Well, that's the Hollywood distortion of heaven. But the true reality of heaven is those who have been washed by the blood of Christ, praising the Lamb that is slain. For all of eternity, God's children will be praising God. For all of eternity, God's children will be praising God for who He is and what He has done. For all of eternity, God's children will be praising God for who He is and what He has done joyfully and with great gratitude. The principles in Psalm 100 are the principles of eternity. And to prove it to you, turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. We are given a glimpse into the throne room of God. We're given a glimpse of the glorification of God that will go on for all of eternity. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Look at the next chapter, chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard, I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Who was the source of the worship? Revelation, God. Why did they worship him? For who he is and what he had done. In what spirit do they worship him? Thanksgiving. Joy, gratitude. And this will be our soul satisfaction for all of eternity. And if praising God is what we will do for all of eternity, don't you think it should be important to us now? So let's make that a daily practice in our life. Praising God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the sufficiency of your word, for the simplicity of your word, for the strength and power of your word. Lord, we confess that in our battle against the flesh and the spirit, we do not praise you as we ought. But truly, the spirit is willing. And we long to give you adoration and praise because you alone are worthy. Father, we confess that we are distracted by a million things in this world, things which are unholy and things that are good and holy. Lord, we pray that you might tune our hearts this day to praise your holy name. And may we praise you with a sincere heart. May we, as we praise you, remember all that you have done for us. Perhaps there is a dear brother or sister in Christ, downcast and discouraged in the pit of despair. Oh Lord, may they praise you. And may that praise be the ladder that will lift them up out of that dark despair and bring them into the light of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we yield our hearts to you. We pray that you would have your will in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen.